So this morning, we're talking about experiential preaching. Experiential means to find out and know by experience. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit of God applies the gospel of Jesus Christ to the heart of the sinner. That's pretty much it, isn't it? All right. So again, it is the blessing of the Spirit that applies the Word of God to the heart. And it can't be applied by any other. Only by total confidence in what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And total dependence on Him. What's missing today in a lot of preaching is a vital message. A living message. A message that God the Holy Spirit will apply to the heart. And if there's any pride for man in that message, he's not going to apply it to the heart. Because God will not and does not recognize a lie, does he? Again, he's a jealous God. Now, this vital message that must come through the gospel message, stripped down, is this. The message must show how a sinner must be stripped of all of his self-righteousness and driven to Jesus Christ alone. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He also said, no man cometh to me except my Father which sent me draw him. He said, I am the door, I am the way, I am the bread of life. There is no other way. And a thief and a robber won't get there. Because there's no other entrance to God but through dependence on Jesus Christ. And the purposeful, if you will, sacrifice of that perfect life for us. See, he came for that purpose, didn't he? And he fulfilled his promise to save those that God had given him before the foundation of the world. So, a sinner must be stripped of his self-righteousness and dependence on that goodness that he thinks he has. This has to come through in the gospel message. It's vital. It's necessary for salvation. We must preach that Jesus Christ is the only hope. And it is the Holy Spirit of God that drives us to Christ alone. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the realization that we have no hope in and of ourselves because we are a fallen creature, inherited a sinful nature from Adam, from the Garden of Eden. It's the Holy Spirit that drives the sinner to Christ alone for salvation. And he leads us to this magnificent joy of a simple and complete reliance on Christ Jesus. That is a vital message right there. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. I tell you, the first two chapters of 1 Peter here, we could preach on for the rest of our lives, couldn't we? Because it's rich in the sovereignty of God. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. The gospel of Jesus Christ that gives all the glory to God for salvation is the sincere milk of the Word. We return to it over and over, though we feel like the Lord has grown us in faith, that we do take of some richer food than just the sincere milk of the gospel, yet we return to it over and over because we must acknowledge the vital doctrine that Jesus Christ lived the only life that God the Father accepted.
That's right.
The only one.
That's right.
That's what makes His life unique. That's what makes our dependence on Him, total dependence on Him, so necessary. Because God is only pleased with Him. Oh, but when I believe in Him with the heart, when I trust in what He's done on the cross of Calvary for me personally, and when you trust in Him for yourself personally, that He died on that cross for you, and that God sees you through Him and through that perfect shed blood, oh, what joy it brings to the heart. What peace. We're told in the Bible that it's a peace that passes understanding. I don't understand why God would have saved me. I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I figure that's probably why. Because there's no pride here. There's nothing to be proud of here. There's no righteousness here. He raises up the simple, don't He? To proclaim His truth among His people. So the minister must bring forth the sincere milk of the Word. When we stand up here to preach, we could tell stories and we could come up with all kinds of plans and ideas. I'm not saying that we won't ever. As long as they're according to God's Word, they're good. But when we stand up here to proclaim Jesus Christ as the only Savior, we must make sure that we bring this sincere milk of the Word, that we bring the gospel, because that's what the Holy Spirit uses to sink into the heart of the sinner. It's a vital message, isn't it? Experiential preaching. And again, let me express that the experience part comes from God. I could get a instruction book on how to rebuild an internal combustion engine, let's say. And I could read it. And somebody could ship me an internal combustion engine to rebuild. And I wouldn't have a clue. I've never done it. But if I go to step one and I read through step one, and I take my wrench over here, and I experience the action of the instruction. You get that? I experience it. Then I go back to step one. Did I do it right? I did. Then I go to step two. I read about it. That's one thing. I have some knowledge. Then I go do it according to that knowledge. That's experiential. I'm experiencing what I'm reading about how to do. And then when I get to number 10,047, we crank it up and it'll run. That's the idea. When we read God's Word, we need to apply it, don't we? And we realize that it's God that's doing it. It's the Holy Spirit that's driving us toward this dependence on Jesus Christ and giving us the ability to experience Him in His Word. To experience the gospel in our lives. Back in Romans 10, we read this in verse 17. We're talking about believing the faith. And we know that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. So again, all praise and glory goes to Him. Verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must preach the Word of God. We must tell others that their only hope of eternal life is found in Him. He grants that trust when He gives us His Spirit. Oh, that we would follow Him in all that we do. Oh, that as we read the Word of God, that we would trust in the Holy Spirit to apply it so that we can experience it in how we think, in what we say, in how we act, in what we do, in how we treat each other, and how we live. And you know what kind of life He's going to lead us into? Just like the life of Jesus Christ. What was the Lord's baseline desire? It was to please God the Father, wasn't it? Absolutely. And to do His will, the Father's will in His life. That's what we've been given. That's our baseline desire that rises above all the cares of this world. All the necessities, all the things that we must do to survive and to take care of ourselves, our families, our loved ones. It rises above all of that, doesn't it? It's our desire to please Him. He's a great and mighty Savior, isn't He?
He is.
Faith by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This is our destiny. Our life has been designed, predestined, and is being fulfilled by God. Oh, the Lord Jesus has been given all power in heaven and earth, hasn't He?
Yes.
Won't you stand on the rock of Jesus Christ this morning for your spiritual life? Because there is no other name by which we must be saved but by Jesus Christ. He's a marvelous Savior. Praise the Lord that we have the privilege to come together and to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to stand up here and to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and there is spiritual life found in none other. He's a marvelous Savior.